It is 93.3 WMMR at the MM Barbecue for 2019 on finally a lovely day. No rain, no difficulties whatsoever. And we are joined by two great men from a very great band. We have Zach Myers and Brent Smith of Shinedown. Good day, gentlemen.
Pierre.
What's happening? What's going on?
It's just great to welcome you back.
I love the golf
clap.
That
was like the delay. It was very delayed.
If you're going to get involved, act like it matters.
Yeah.
All right? Everybody's welcome on board the SS Pierre until it hits the iceberg. But
speaking of Pierre, though, when we rolled out here, I kind of ruined the surprise. But okay. Zach does a pick when we're on tours, no matter what the tours are. Every single city, every single country gets its own pick when we're on tour. And I spoiled it a little bit. Tell everybody what you did.
I put a picture of our great friend Pierre on my picks tonight. So that's what's on.
The
mayor of Philadelphia.
I am blown away by that.
You're welcome.
Every guitar player will use this evening?
Just me.
Oh, just you. Well, that's no,
that
someone,
makes it even more
there's
special.
Someone, but no, Eric has the MMR logo on his. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Dude, I just thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I also wanted to thank you because you tweeted.
And we didn't have to Photoshop it either because you just look so
real
damn
photo.
Sexy.
It's just a real, that's just a Google photo of
that's
you.
That's just a normal Wikipedia photo, man.
You, I wanted to thank you because you, on our 50th birthday, gave us a nice shout out on tweet. And that was really, really cool for MMR. Now, as of April, is 51 years old.
That's amazing.
Well, when you think about rock and roll music and you think about radio stations, any station in any format, that long is a long time. And then, you know, a rock and roll station, it's almost, you know, unbelievable. So
it is unbelievable to have that many years and not flip format is insane.
You know, stations evolved musically, but so has music. So it's kind of reflected what's been past and what's been, you know, happening right now. And one of the things I want to started chatting with you about is I saw the NASA TV yesterday.
Yeah.
It was so cool. NASA TV, is that like a in-house channel or an online channel?
It's called Houston, We Have a Podcast.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a combination of a podcast and a
television
network.
Television show, yeah.
Yeah.
For NASA. Like it was on. It was weird, like, seeing NASA, not like a certain, like, NASA / this, like, actual NASA, just being like, we're going to have Shinedown on the show today. Like, what? This is insane.
I think it's Mental Health Awareness Month.
It is. May is.
All of May.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
and that was a lot of the reason behind doing it, because it was, you know, the focus of the interview was because they're, of course, you know, with them, it's kind of the similarities of like being in space for 11 months and you've only got a certain amount of guys and girls up there, depending on what the mission is and what have you, the similarities between your physical and your mental health, you know, and why it relates to being on the road
right. And
being in space. It's kind of the same dynamic. Although they have it a little bit tougher than we do, because it's not like they can go outside, like open the door and go to McDonald's, you know what I mean? Or what have you, or get away. You know, they're kind of, it's pretty insane that we were even given the opportunity to do that yesterday.
But you can see the comparison, you know, being in a space capsule, you know, and you're with that group of people, and a young band gets their first tour bus, and they go, oh my God, we've made it, it's luxurious. And then after you've been there for a while, there are confines, and so the bands that survive are the ones that learn how to live with each other, and much like, you know, a relationship. And you guys are on the road 280-something days a year, and you guys are on the road so much. So it's like, how do you keep your mental health? So it was a perfect tie-in.
When you start, too, you both eat food out of bags and out of, like, little bowls that you put in a microwave. It's all the same. We're basically astronauts, Pierre.
Well,
I don't know if you know that.
Many people don't know this, but when you enter Shinedown's bus, everything is weightless also.
You start to float.
Oh, yeah, which is cool.
When you walk inside, you're lighter than air.
And you guys are both sober and have been you never did, and you've been for a long time. So
I did. I did it, everything in moderation, Pierre.
Okay, all right.
I think also just, you know, the correlation to the two dynamics and everything, I mean, it's a lot of what it does represent more than anything, like what this month represents in May, and it being Mental Health Awareness, you know, it's something that we've been talking about from, you know, the beginning of our band. And I mean, ultimately, one of the reasons that we do survive, one of the reasons that we have been able to stay the course, is one thing is that we don't believe in a ceiling. We're always trying to look at the next step and see what we need to do. And the reality of some things are also, we actually genuinely love each other. We actually care about each other. We could be on separate buses if we wanted to. We could have separate dressing rooms if we wanted to. We just don't want to do it, you know, because we actually value each other. We value our friendship. We value the camaraderie of the four of us. And it shows in the records. It shows on stage. And we keep each other, you know, in check. You know, we really, really care about each other. And then the significance of this month, the significance of the awareness is that, you know, we really don't want people to lose their empathy for one another. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what someone's going through sometimes. And the people that are going through it and they feel a little off, or maybe that maybe the world or society doesn't really understand them, the last thing in the world we want people to do is feel ashamed or embarrassed of that. Like, they don't need to be quiet about it. You know what I mean? If you're having some problems, there's nothing to be ashamed of for, you know, asking for help. And if you see somebody, and even if you don't know who they are, you know, people have a good sense of intuition with other people. You know what I mean? You do, even if you don't think you don't. Oh, yeah. You know, if you see somebody that's struggling, take a moment to walk over and ask if they're okay. Even that just simple question might completely change their day.
That could really affect someone's whole life. You know,
yeah. Just,
you know,
CNN is running this series on people who have created change. And they interviewed a gentleman who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived.
Yeah.
And the second he let go, he said, "Oh, my God, I don't want to die."
Yeah.
And he, I mean, it was not an easy process, but he did survive that fall, and he conducts seminars on keeping people alive and is campaigning for nets all around the Golden Gate Bridge and actually just got them. But what's so interesting is his choice of life afterwards. But he said on his way to the bridge, he got on the bus, and he was crying, and he was upset on the city bus. He took, you know, various public transportation to get there. And he said that if one person had offered him kindness in the form of even a smile or a, "Hey, are you okay?" he wouldn't have jumped. So people forget their impact. You know, they forget their impact on it, being able to lift somebody else up.
We're stuck in this thing.
The self, all the he's time. Holding up his
I'm
phone.
I'm holding up my cell phone. And so you don't even look up at people. You don't make conversation with people. And that's something that we try to do in our meet and greets and things like that, is actually have conversations, real conversations with people. You know, because you never know just what that's going to do for someone's day or their week or their life.
And he makes a good point, too, just with the what he was talking about, which was, you know, the cell phone. You know, look, I mean, we live in a different world than 10 years ago. And the interesting thing about social media and the platforms and, you know, the fact that everybody has an opinion now, you know, look, social media and those platforms and what have you can be massively useful tools. It can also be very, very devastating. They wonder why there's such an increase in suicide in young people from 14 to 25 years old. It's because when they look, if you look at the trajectory of, you know, youth in America and globally, like, it's tough because people don't know how they're affecting other people, even if they're being a bully and you're being a bully online. Like, everybody's really, really brave when they're online. You know what I mean?
And, super, super brave.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, not to labor on this so much, because this is about lifting each other up and about lifting each other up together. But, you know, look, something that I think people forget about that phone and forget about that social media and forget about all of those things, from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram, Snapchat, you name it. You have control of that. You know what I mean? You don't have to look for the negative. You can find the positive if you want to. You can be a beacon for that as well. But I do something for me personally, which is, and Zach knows this about me, I have two alarms in the morning. So the first alarm gets me up, and then the second alarm is an hour after that. So the first hour that I'm up, I don't look at anything on the phone. I'm usually pretty quiet. I get my coffee. I kind of get myself together. But that first hour that I'm up in the morning, that's for me. You know what I mean? Because guess what? It's not going nowhere. Your phone ain't going to go nowhere. It will still be there tomorrow.
People are still going to be complaining about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, totally.
Those tweets are still going to be there.
I'm getting a text.
It's okay.
As this is happening, texts are fine. I can't believe that. That's perfect.
But going out and taking the initiative and keeping yourself aware of not being desensitized, you know, in regards to just human interaction, that's the biggest thing, man. We don't want people to be numb to each other. You know what I mean? Because that's an important thing. Empathy is a big deal, you know? And if you're looking for the negative, you're going to find that very, very easily. It's much harder to find the solution sometimes to the problem.
It does, but it's doable. But that brings me to Get Up, the single, which is such a beautiful piece of music because it speaks to the fact that every one of us fall down. You know, and it's just like we've got this choice, and it's easier to stay on the ground. It's harder to get up and go, you know what, I can do this. And you do so many things in the show and on the records that lift people up and remind them that they make a difference and that they make an impact and to not give up.
1,000%. That's why the song was written. I mean, we wrote the song, you know, about our brother and our friend, Eric Bass, who's actually the producer, the engineer, and the mixer of the new album, Attention, Attention.
Wow.
We did it all in Charleston, South Carolina. It was one of the first songs that was written during the process. And, you know, the thing about Eric and why he's such an inspiration is that he deals with something that is considered clinical depression. From the moment we met him, he was very, very open with us about it. And he was on medication for quite a number of years. And I remember the day that he came to us and he said, and by the way, I'm going to preface this. This isn't for everybody. We're not telling you to go out. If you are on medication, you need to be on it. You know, we're not saying just get off your medication or anything like that. We're not doctors. But he came to us and was like, I don't want to take this anymore. And I don't know necessarily what it's going to do, but I need your all's, you know, respect, and, you know, in this decision. And I need you guys to know that, you know, I want to bring this to you, but this is a decision that I need to do for my health. And we all looked at each other and we're like, we're with you, man. And he got off the medication, and it's up and down, you know what I mean? But he doesn't deal with something that's like a case of the Mondays. He deals with something on a daily basis that he really has to be in tune to his mind. You know, Eric, in general, there's so many unique things about him, but he'll be the first one to tell you, you know, what Get Up is really about. Is about, don't be afraid to fail, man. Don't be afraid of your failures. You're not going to be defined by them. You're going to need those failures to know what to do next time. Right. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to be defined by your failures. You're really going to be defined by the fact that you just refuse to give up. It may be difficult to get back up and go after it again, but just go for it. You know, you ain't got nothing to lose. Don't always worry about having a plan B. Whatever you really, really want, stick to plan A, man. Don't worry about plan B. Get, you know, whatever you want for your life, go get that.
I love that. We're joined at the
You're surrounded by Brents right now. I'm not a fan.
We have Mr. Brent Porsche, who knows more about Shinedown than any human being on this planet. And you had a question or two.
Do you?
I believe he does.
Well, you guys were talking
about some trivia.
Well, you mentioned Get Up. Congratulations on the upwards of 40 million streams.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Which is crazy.
So you guys had a tremendous. You guys helped with that tremendously, so thank you.
I have to say thank you for the shows that you put on down at the Ryman. I was there on Monday and Tuesday down there in Nashville. I called both of them.
Didn't even come back and say hello
to us. Oh, my God. Are you
serious? Oh, I tried. Some people don't check their DMs. That's all.
Oh, my God.
What? On what?
On you, man. I reached
Instagram?
Out to you.
Hey,
on Twitter?
Hey.
We've
all got to get up and get along.
I don't really use Twitter that much anymore.
That's all good. So, first of all, I'm still over the moon from those two shows earlier this week.
Did you enjoy them?
Oh, my God. Absolutely amazing. And, I mean, you guys both being Tennessee boys, Brent from Knoxville, Zach from Memphis, this was the first time you guys actually played this story. The Mother Church as the Ryman. Yes.
Yeah, it was crazy because it's like a two-year list. Like, it's a long wait. And
so what is it?
They have to ask you to play there. You can put in and say, hey, we want to try to book a show at the Ryman. And they're not just going to be like, yeah, we want the money. They don't care about the money. They're like, they turn down bands
You have to put your submission in, and then they have to decide whether or not they're going
to
allow you to play.
You're worthy to play there, yeah.
It's wild. What the Ryman is, though.
You want to tell them what the Ryman is?
The Ryman Auditorium in Nashville is the original Grand Ole Opry. It's the original, old AM radio like Grand Ole Opry with it, which was a show that would air, I believe, originally on Thursdays. I used to listen to the reruns with both my grandmothers would listen to the reruns, and then Hee Haw was obviously filmed at the Grand Ole Opry as well. I'm sorry, I'm a redneck. I don't know if anybody knows. I grew up watching these shows. We all did in our band. So to play there and the history behind that place. You know, in the 70s, they were going to shut it down because there was no air conditioning. There was one dressing room for men, one dressing room for women, you know. And it's the first, actually, I don't know if you knew this, but you know how the first 3 feet of the stage was lighter?
Yeah.
That's the original stage.
Wow.
That's the original part of the stage. And they moved the Grand Ole Opry to out by Opry Mills, which is a mall kind of a little outside
of
Nashville.
Opry Land, Hotel Opry and Gardens
yeah.
and all that out there.
Yeah. So it used to be a theme park called Opryland. I used to go to when I was a kid. And the Ryman is now just, it's the mother church of music. It's where country music started, you know. So it's very to cool. play there and have so much history there was really cool. And every night, we've been doing two or three nights in the city. And every night we'd stand at the front of the stage and play a song. No mics, no PA, wow. no nothing. Literally wow. just a room. And the room, I mean, the room sings back to you. It's so amazing. Like, you can hear, you know, I saw videos from the very back row of us doing that. And it sounded like I was sitting right next to you playing.
The really, really cool thing about it also was is that not only did were they cool with us playing, they asked us to do two nights, yeah. which was kind of shocking. And then the night before our first night, Michelle Obama was there right. doing her tour. So it's wild. They give you the book, the guest book. You know, you when you come and you play, you sign, you know, and if you want to say something, your signature or whatever.
She was right before
it was right before. Yeah, I'm looking at the book. I'm opening it up, and it's Michelle Obama. And then you turn the page. It's like night one, Shinedown. Yeah. I'm like, what the? I'm like, where are we, man?
Which
this is amazing.
That's our tour in 2020 is Shinedown, Michelle Obama.
Yeah, it's Michelle Obama and Shinedown.
It's going to be a speaking tour.
We're announcing
tour.
It right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryman Auditorium goes back to the late
1800s. Yeah, 1872.
John Philip Sousa performed there. Susan B. Anthony spoke there. When you wow. think of the rich history of that place. And you mentioned, Zach, about the acoustics each night. You did Misfits the first night. You guys did Shed Some Light the second
night.
Did
you hear it good? Because you were in the balcony dead center.
At first, I was like, why am I up here? Why am I not down in front row? But I think those were the better seats
I
up
think
there.
So too.
Yeah, we were right in front of house and with the speakers hitting us and stuff. And I think you mentioned, Brent, when you were up there that
my mom and my dad came down to those two shows. It was wild.
I saw Ollie and everybody side stage rocking out with the little guitar, his son.
Yeah, my son was he's a rocker, and
he's got daddy in him through and
100%,
through.
100%. Yeah.
It definitely ain't Avery.
No, Avery's not a rocker.
Avery's going to beat everybody up.
Avery's not, my youngest son is not a rocker. He was over it very quickly.
But, Brent, you mentioned that it's customary for bands that perform there to
you relinquish the mic and you unplug if you want to respect the hall, and you take one song that you sing unplugged and you relinquished the mic.
It was amazing. Goosebumps even still just thinking about it.
Yeah, I was super, super nervous the very first time we did it.
Wow. The opening band, every year we give a local band a shot. We call it Local Shots. They open the show. And
I saw them.
This one
I got to watch them today.
Oh, cool. Saravo is their name out of Philly. And they did a great video. They put out a thing, I think you guys retweeted it.
We did.
That said, we're so honored to get to open for Shinedown. And we did a video for Second Chance, and it's beautiful.
It was really, really nice. Good. We reposted it on all our socials.
Yeah,
they were
it.
Great today. I got to see the first three songs. It was really cool. It's cool that you guys do that, too, to take a band locally and put them on a show this big. They put them in front of that many people. You know, when we were kids, we would have loved something like that.
Well, yeah, it's a shot, you know. Who knows what they'll do with it, but it's so cool. But you were so cool to, you know, give that band another boost by doing that. Just was delightful.
We have a rule that any win for a rock band is a win for rock and roll. You know, so, like, we don't talk crap about other bands, man. You know, we want everybody to do well in this genre of music because, you know, if the genre does well, then it keeps it going. Like you guys, you know, 51 years playing rock and roll in this day and age. I don't know if you know anything about radio right now, but that's you're in the trenches at that point. It's hard to keep a radio station going. So, you know, our props for WMMR and us publicly.
Major props for MMR.
Our public appraisal of you is very well known, but we love this station and we love this city. And, you know, honestly, like, it's weird, man. When we play this city, it feels like a hometown show, which is that's very rare. That's so that's cool. And none of us are from here. So.
By the way, both you guys and everybody, you know, with the station, you have always, from day one, going all the way back to 2003, you have always been so genuine to us. You've always been so caring and very thought-provoking, and your hospitality and just the support of the band. And you guys and girls have stayed very humble, you know, and we try to stay as humble as we can. So, and that's a testament to you guys and girls, man, why you're successful, why this city loves you, why this radio station is legendary all over the world, you know, and it is. And that says a lot, man. You've stayed true to who you guys are, and you know how to kind of roll with the punches and, you know, look at what music is really doing, look in the year that you're in, and really look at the big picture. Zach always says, man, you know, It's about the painting, man. It's not about the painter. So thank you guys for being so genuine.
I think we'll let it go at that because they're signaling that you guys have got to go. So our thanks go out to you.
Thank you
for joining us once again. And also for putting me on the guitar pick.
You like that?
I could start crying, actually. It's so f***ing cool.
What a cool picture, too.
It's just
you so just cussed
amazing.
On the air, by the way.
Thank you.
You just cussed on the air.
I know, but we're not exactly.
Okay, we're
not
recording
fully on
this.
The air
okay.
yet.
They, Zach, they have control of everything.
Okay, yeah. Pierre can beep himself mentally,
yes,
and it just
yes.
goes.
Anyway, thank you guys.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
Shine down.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.